The Anglican Church in the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands presents Insight, a program sponsored by the Anglican Churchman.
Good evening. My name is Mary Rodland, and I'm from the parish of Holy Cross. My technical producer is Ramon Sweeting. Welcome to Insight. This program is sponsored by the Anglican Churchmen. Blessed be the Lord our God, by whose grace we are yet alive. Blessed be his Son, Jesus Christ, by whose rising we are set free. Father, we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, to offer you our worship, praise, and thanksgiving. To you belong all power and glory. You are the source of all goodness. Let our worship bear witness to your peace and saving power. Through your Spirit, may we ever rejoice in the abiding presence of our risen and ascended Lord. Amen. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices. O Son of God, giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may preserve with steadfast faith in the confession of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our first hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. Our reading for this evening is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, said Jesus. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. She loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Pentecost is the longest season of the church. In chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke, we read three miracles. The first miracle in verses 1 to 10 is the healing of the centurion's servant. This was a great miracle, as it involved the restoration of health. The second miracle in verses 11 to 17 is the raising of the widow's son from the dead. This was a greater miracle because it involved the restoration of life. But the third miracle in verses 36 to 50, the salvation of a sinful woman, was the greatest miracle because it involved the restoration of a soul to God. A preacher once said, this third miracle met the greatest need, produced the greatest results, and cost the greatest price. One of the points of controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees centered on how the righteous should view the unrighteous. But many of us know that sometimes we need to be uncomfortable in situations to learn important lessons in life. Jesus uses this uncomfortable situation about the sinful woman and Simon the Pharisees to teach us some lessons. One of the points of controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees centered on how the righteous should view the unrighteous. But many of us know that sometimes we need to be uncomfortable in situations to learn important lessons in life. Jesus uses this uncomfortable situation about the sinful woman and Simon the Pharisee to teach us some lessons. The custom in those days helps us to understand this event. When a rabbi was at a meal in a house with a courtyard, all kinds of people came in to listen to his teaching. According to custom, when a guest entered the house, the host would place his hand on the guest's shoulder and would give him a kiss of peace. That was the mark of respect that was never omitted in the case of a distinguished rabbi. Cool water was poured over the guest's feet to cleanse and comfort them, and either a pinch of sweet-smelling incense was burned or a drop of rose oil was placed on the guest's head. These things are good manners, and they demanded good manners when you invited a guest to your home. The guests did not sit at the table. They lay on low couches, resting the left elbow, leaving the right arm free, with their feet stretched out behind, and during the meal, their sandals were off. This explains how the woman was standing beside Jesus' feet. So at the beginning of the story, the person who invited Jesus to his house is mentioned as the Pharisee. And later in verse 40, Jesus called him by his name, Simon. Even though Simon does not look too flattering here, he does not appear to be a bad guy. He was hospitable in the sense of the invitation. It seems that he was interested in knowing more about Jesus and possibly learning from him. Jesus recognized Simon's ability and willingness to learn the lesson he teaches here. But the question is, why would Simon withhold the common courtesies extended to guests? Was Simon testing Jesus as to the public opinion that he was a prophet from God? In the miracle just before this, when Jesus raised the widow's son, Luke tells us in chapter 7, verse 16, that the people filled with awe and praised God and said that a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So there is no indication that Simon invited this woman to his house for this purpose. But the circumstances became a test for him in his decision about Jesus. So we could ask the question, was Simon being careful not to honor Jesus too much for fear of angering his fellow Pharisees? So what about the woman? In verse 37, it tells us that she was a woman who had lived a sinful life. There are some who suppose that she was a prostitute, but that is not certain. So the question is, why would she want to come into the house? Maybe she may have heard Jesus teach and been drawn to become a follower. Jesus' statement about why she did what she did would point her to previous conversion and repentance. Some commentators place this event immediately following Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Obviously, the woman is confident that Jesus will accept her, and so she came, bringing with her an alabaster flask of perfume. She showed a lot of emotions by crying, kissing Jesus' feet, and touching him. Picturing this scene in our minds, we can imagine all the discomfort of the people at the dinner to what they would have considered an embarrassing outburst. When we read the story, we can sense the uncomfortable silence with guests whispering to each other, "Look at her. Now look at what she is doing," or their eyes rolled upward. Simon is thinking, "Why come to my house to do this?" Yet, as most people in the house cringed with discomfort, Jesus calmly accepted this display of emotion and affection as something acceptable and appropriate. Let us look at Simon. In verse 39 tells us that when the Pharisee who had invited saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Simon was wondering this. Is he going to let her act this way? You see, Simon expected Jesus, as a wise and religious leader, to reject the woman's attention as insulting. The rabbis of that time never talked with a woman in public, if they could help it. So in his own mind, Simon questioned Jesus' credentials as a true prophet. Jesus, being not omniscient or all-knowing, knew exactly what Simon was thinking. And so he used this awkward moment to teach Simon a lesson. Jesus told him a story about two debtors who could not pay their bills, so the master forgave them both. One owed 10 times more than the other, and he asked Simon which of the two men would love the debtor more. Simon responded that the one who had the bigger debt. So some 2,000 years later, what lessons can we learn from this story? Lesson number one, the analogy between material debt and sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 24 tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God treats us much better than we deserve. He freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. God blesses us day after day with good health, our families, and our livelihoods. None of us can repay God for his goodness and blessings. As the songwriter puts it, God's goodness is running after us. The lesson here is that this woman reacted with such an emotional display of gratitude because she had been forgiven. Our debts are equal, even though our sin is not. This woman's debt was great, and she owed God a lot. Lesson number two, God knows everyone's heart. He knew why this woman was doing what she was doing. He knew why she was crying and how she truly felt towards him. He also knew what was in Simon's heart. His thoughts could not be hidden from Jesus. So Jesus confronted Simon subtly, yet directly. You see, God knows our hearts and sees our motivations. Some people associate with Jesus for ulterior and insincere reasons. Simon wanted Jesus to eat in his home, but he had no perception of needing Jesus. He was only casually interested. He did not even offer Jesus the customary courtesies of the day. The woman, however, knew exactly why she was there. She was there to honor Jesus in display of emotion. She felt a real spiritual need for Jesus. You see, some people are interested in Jesus, but they really are not motivated by deep spiritual need. They may pray at meals, attend services, read their Bibles, and enjoy the company of good people who are not devoted, yet allow other things to take precedence. There is no genuine sense of what God has done for them. The woman in our story does not hesitate to do the work of a servant. She was not embarrassed, despite the sip-sip and snickers of guests at the dinner. Contrary to Simon, who seemed embarrassed to offer even basic hospitality, he withheld water, she used her tears. He withheld a kiss, she kissed his feet. He did not anoint Jesus with the common oil, but she rubbed his feet with an expensive perfumed oil. Our ability to love God as we should is rooted in our recognition of our forgiveness. Those who are forgiven much love much. Spiritual development hinges on this point. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 9 tells us, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." Lesson number three, pride leads us to misjudge ourselves and others. Simon's self-righteous pride caused him to misjudge Jesus. That was a crucial mistake. Jesus was more than a prophet. He was one who could forgive sins. Simon also misjudged the woman. He saw her as a hopeless sinner to be avoided. Jesus showed her to be the one who was right before God, forgiven of all of her sins. You see, we may allow our high opinion of ourselves to convince us that those who are not like us cannot be right with God. We ignore sinners who are seeking to be forgiven or who have been forgiven by Jesus. But Simon's misjudgment was about himself. He held himself on a high pedestal and did not look inward at his sinful self. So when we look at these two individuals, Simon and the woman, we see two opposing approaches to Jesus. Simon's approach was through a sense of obligation alone. It was courtesy mixed with the concern for what others think. His approach was careful and calculated. Simon had no sense of forgiveness. He did not realize how much he needed Jesus. There was no love. The sinful woman, on the other hand, exhibited a true sense of hunger and thirst for forgiveness. It was a display of enormous gratitude and love that could not be hidden, and she was not concerned with what others thought. She realized that she was nothing without Christ and his forgiveness. She realized that she was spiritually bankrupt. We need to approach Jesus like this woman. We must constantly consider our need for him. Even though we attend services regularly, we know the issues. When we compare ourselves to Christ, we are nothing. Sincere, unabashed love that comes from a true appreciation for forgiveness is worth more to God than a long list of obeyed rules. So let us put away our pride, self-sufficiency, and self-righteousness, and look to the one who forgives sins. What we do know from the story for sure is that all of the people in that house, one went away forgiven. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the blind, the way of those who stray, and the resurrection of the dead. Lighten the darkness of our hearts and minds. Bring us sinners to repentance, so that we may live in you and for you. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, we worship and glorify you, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or conceive, by the power which is at work among us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen.